Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Back Porch Theology. This is your host, Caleb Moore, and thanks for hanging out with me on my back porch. And if you're tired of all the bad news out there, and you're looking for someone to strengthen your hands and slap you on the butt and say, get back out there! If you're looking for someone to tell you, remind you that we're here to put all of Christ's enemies under his feet. If you're looking for someone to remind you that we are here to take the humanists of the day to the woodshed, then you will feel most welcome on my back porch. Alright, so will God's people remain in the White House, or will the Canaanites take over the White House? That's still the question going on in our nation. As litigation is going on, as court cases are being fought, what do we do? What do we do? What is the Christian response? What would God have us do? And that's going to be the focus of the podcast today. So kick off your boots and let's get to it. All right. So as a Christian, our first question is always, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? We want to be men who and women and households who understand the times in which we live. We want to understand why we got here, how we got where we are, and what is the path ahead to victory, to conquest, right? For God's glory and the good of the church, the good of his people. And the first thing that I would encourage everyone to do right now is something that we talked about on the last episode of Back Porch Theology, and that is to repent. Okay, so in the book of Ezekiel, the Babylonians were at the door, and you had the population was divided in Judah. You had people that were going about their normal life, no big deal, yada yada yada. I just love my sin and I just love the way things are. I got to drop off my kids at the public school. I got to go spend some more money on my credit cards, you know, that kind of thing. And then you had people that were actually convicted by their sin and the sin of the nation, and they were the ones walking around mourning for their sin. And what did God say? God told Ezekiel to go around and mark each of those people that were mourning for their sin, because they were going to be protected from the coming judgment. All right, so when the Babylonians are at the door, the first thing that we got to do is repent. Because if we have any kind of secret sin, if we've made any kind of secret alliance with the devil and with the world, then guess what? We're going to get the old Achan treatment. Achan for some bacon. Achan was the guy back in Joshua, when Joshua was leading the Israelites into conquest of Canaan, and they came across a little town of Ai. It should have been no big deal for them to conquer, but Achan had some secret sin. Achan stole some gold and some silver and some fancy clothes from Jericho. When God told them to destroy it all, he said, oh, I'm just going to keep a little bit for myself. That's no big deal, right? Well, as a result, 36 men, 36 fathers, husbands, brothers, and sons were killed. And the army of the Israelites were defeated soundly because one guy had some secret sin in his life. And what happened as a result? Well, he ended up repenting, but he and his family were all executed for their sin. Of course, because God's kingdom is a train you can't stop, afterwards, the Israelites went in and defeated Ai after they got the sin out of the camp. So, all that to say, we do not want to be a people that have made any sort of secret alliance with the devil. So the first thing is repent. Repent of any sin, of any habitual sin, of any secret sin. Make sure that we are walking in the light as Christ is in the light. All right? Okay, that's number one. Number two is make sure that your walls are sturdy. When the savages come a-knocking, if they do, like they have been in Portland and Seattle and elsewhere all summer long, you want to make sure your walls are sturdy and they can't come in. In other words, make sure that you are well-armed, that you are well-acquainted with your firearm, and that everyone in your house knows how to use it. Preferably, a gun for every hand in the house, right? Okay, that's number two. And make sure you got lots of rocks to throw at those Philistines. You know, little pointy ones, preferably calibers such as 9mm or 45 caliber or 5.56. Or buckshot is a crowd pleaser, always a crowd pleaser. Okay, so, yeah, I know that that statement's going to be a little controversial, so if you didn't like it, well, just pretend like you didn't hear it, right? Okay, so that's number two. Number three is hopefully you have some money saved, because who knows what's going to happen with the economy? Who knows if Sleepy Joe's going to shut everything down and you won't be able to gather bread for your family? Because this is what we do know about the statists. They want to be God. And so they want to be the one that you look to for provision. So they are going to want to more than likely gut your business, whether you are self-employed or work for somebody else. That way you'll be standing in the bread lines. Remember Breadline Bernie? Bernie Sanders, he thinks that people standing in bread lines is a good thing because it means the government can provide. So let's do a quick recap. Number one, make sure that you're walking in righteousness, that you're repenting of any sin. Number two, make sure you're well-armed. Number three, make sure that you have a rainy day fund of cashola. And right here, I want to put a little asterisk. Now, as of right now, we don't know what the outcome is going to be, but either way, the left is going to flip out. They've been flipping out the past 4 years. And can you imagine if the White House gets supposedly, you know, quote unquote, taken away from them? They are gonna, it's gonna be like a bunch of 4-year-olds in the grocery line in the cereal aisle that aren't, you know, that they're not, their mom isn't buying the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but instead is, you know, buying Basic Four or something that's healthy, right? So it's gonna be crazy. If we've learned anything, we need to know that there's no limit to how crazy the leftists can get. Now, that being said, I think that we need to fight. We need to fight. There's no breath in our lungs. Fight for victory in the White House. And again, like I said last time, if we end up losing, then we know that duty is ours and the results are God's. We prepare the horse for battle, but the battle belongs to the Lord. And if the Lord does not grant us victory, we want to be prepared to continue to move forward. We want to be ready to continue to build Christ's kingdom, to build our families, and to still take over the land, right? Because we believe, you know, unlike the pessimillennialists, the people that have a pessimistic outlook on the future, we believe that one day all of the nations of the earth are going to stream to the cross, right? So we want to continue to fight for righteousness. We don't give up. We don't throw our hands in the air and say, well, what use is it anyway? Nope. We circle the wagons when we need to. We strategize and we build, baby. We build with our hands up to heaven, thanking God and rejoicing in the forgiveness that we've been given in Christ all the while, right? Okay, so let's get back to our list here. Number four is build a business. Build a business. If you are a private business owner, you are going to be in a much better spot than an employee. And the more property that you have, the more you can push back, right? So I own my small business, and for example, I'm not beholden to the FDA to wear a face mask. And I can resist much easier than someone who owns, let's say, a retail shop or a small restaurant that has the KGB on patrol to shut you down if you aren't complying by whatever arbitrary guidelines that they set up, right? So if you're thinking about starting a business, start it on the side, have a side hustle, but with the aim to build your own business. That way you can actually have, you can have more influence, right? So think about those New Jersey gym owners that were in the news a lot over the summer. They fought back against the tyranny, and God gave them a lot of victory, and they were a huge encouragement to all the freedom-loving patriots in America that said, you know, I don't have a fear-based worldview, and I'm not going to just comply. I'm not a sheep, and I'm not going to comply with all the arbitrary dictates from the grand wizard, Dr. Fauci, and from all the statists and leftists out there. So build a business, acquire property. The more property you have, the more influence you can have. Number five, have more babies. Have more kids. Encourage other Christians to have more kids. One of the biggest regrets of my life is that after we had our third child, we didn't have two quarters to rub together. And I didn't know any better at the time. I was 22 years old. And so some people call it getting fixed. Well, I call it getting broken. So I'm broken. So I can't give my wife any more children. But I am having grandkids, right? Praise God. He's still filling up my tent and filling up my quiver of arrows. So be pro-life in every sense of the word. Encourage young families to have lots of babies. Help them raise their babies if they need to, if they're struggling financially. Help provide, because that is one of the tools of dominion, is that we will surely outnumber the opposition. One of the goals of victory is that we actually have, just like the Israelites when they were in Egypt, slaves in Egypt, Pharaoh was afraid of them not because of their fighting skills, but because of their sheer number, because of how many of them there were. We want to be like Agent Smith in The Matrix. He just took over the place by multiplying himself, right? And so that's one of the tools of dominion for us as God's people, is that we continue to multiply and multiply while the world is cutting off their genitalia, while the world is promoting homosexuality, which I don't know if the science, the quote-unquote people that are committed to science haven't realized it yet, but homosexuals can't reproduce. Committed to science, right? Their sexual perversity makes it incapable for them to reproduce. And the children that they do have, they want to murder. So give it a generation and we will outnumber them 10 to 1. And last but not least, and this is a given, is live the Christian life well. Live the Christian life well. Husbands and fathers, lead your families into joy. Wash them in the water of the Word on a regular basis. Do Bible study. Do family worship. Go to prayer meeting at your church. Go to Sabbath worship every single Lord's Day. And worship the Lord with all your heart. Kiss your wife every time she's within arm's reach. Spend lots of time with your kids. Read them stories. Win their hearts every single day. Disciple them faithfully. Don't give them a statist, humanistic education where they're going to be fighting against you in 10 years. But raise them in the culture of the Lord. And this is how we circle the wagons, we regroup, and we get ready to take over the world and continue to put all of Christ's enemies under his feet. Thank you for hanging out with me, Caleb Moore, your host on Back Porch Theology. Hope you had a rip-roaring time, and be sure to share this podcast with all your friends. This is important information, guys, because even though the times may be difficult coming up ahead, one way or the other, whether we get Biden or whether we get Trump and have to deal with the crybabies out in the streets throwing rocks at people, we are in for a roller coaster ride. But as God's people, we always keep our hand to the plow,
remain steadfast and always abound in the work of the Lord. Whatever the good Lord has for us, let's keep a smile on our face, a song in our heart, a gun in one hand and a shovel in the other, as we fight, as we build, as we laugh, as we enjoy the good life that God has given us. And this is a topic we are going to come back to time and again. Until next time, this has been your host, your favorite all-American, middle-class, white guy, Caleb Moore. We'll catch you next time.